Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paoli Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by the Reverend Douglas Cornelius.
We are in the midst of a five-week series looking at the marks of mission of the church. When the church fulfills the mission that God laid out for us, what does that look like? And the Anglican Church, a while back, came up with these five marks of mission, five ways that Christ calls us to do mission to and for the world, and we're thinking through them together. And we are in week three here. The first week was to tell the story. The second week was to teach. What does it look like to go and teach all that Christ has taught us and commanded us? And this week, we will look at the word tend. You're picking up that they're all T words, right? So you get to guess at what the future weeks are. Tend. We are going to think about what it means to tend. And so we're closing the chapter on our Easter and Eastertide season, and if resurrection is the end of our story, which we believe that it is, we are now going back to the beginning of our story. And this creation myth that we have in Genesis 1 and 2 and what it teaches us about our place in our world and our relationship to our God, and of course, our mission as God's people. So we turn to Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. This is the story of the creation of humanity. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall die." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I've always thought that stewardship sermons were a little dishonest. In these sermons, which usually come in the midst of a stewardship season or some sort of stewardship drive at the church, these sermons are always about money, of course, encouraging people to give with generosity, even sacrificially, in order to follow the teaching of Christ and to help support the church and its ministries. But pastors always feel a little weird about it, maybe even a little bit bad. I mean, it's not easy to stand up here and ask people to give money. And it's not weird because we don't believe in it. We do believe in it. Jesus' teachings couldn't be more clear on the subject, and he taught about the subject of money as much as any other topic, quite prolifically, in fact. We know we're being faithful to the gospel when stewardship season arrives and it's time to preach those sermons. But we feel bad because it's kind of uncomfortable. We feel like salesmen in a weird way, even though we completely and wholeheartedly believe in what we're saying and what we're quote-unquote selling. But the sermons always feel a little dishonest because we all know that they're about money, right? But the pastors always add in these other things. Oh, and we also do stewardship with our time and our talents and our energy, right? We add all these other words in there. We tack them on the end after money, but then the whole sermon is really just about money. The other stuff is true, but please really pay attention to the money part because we have a budget to make and staff to support, and there's all these ministries that our church does that reach out to the community. it's kind of like the time and energy stewardship pieces are just these little extras that get put in there so that we all don't feel like it's just about money. Well, this morning, I want to welcome you to a different sort of stewardship sermon. This one will acknowledge up front that money is indeed a part of stewardship, but guess what? We are not going to talk about money the rest of the sermon. I'll wait for your applause. There it is. Oh, wow. Yeah. We're not going to talk about money again, I promise, and you're welcome. We won't talk about money, but this is, without a doubt, this is a stewardship sermon. At the end of his important and famous work, Candide, the 18th century Enlightenment thinker Voltaire suggests that there is nothing better for a person to do than to simply live the quiet, simple life and tend to their garden. Almost 300 years later, scholars puzzle and debate over what Voltaire exactly meant by that. See, philosophically, he was a pessimist, and his conclusion at the end of Candide is unquestionably a critique of the sort of naive societal optimism that existed in his day. And in many ways, it's an encouragement to his reader to avoid all the evils and temptations of society. In some ways, this could be read as a philosophically pessimistic sort of instruction to withdraw. Withdraw from society, withdraw from the world, leave all that behind, ignore all those games of politics and religion. Simply find your quiet spot and cultivate or tend to your garden. That is the best that we can do, he concludes. Now, despite the fact that Voltaire was certainly not a Christian thinker, his conclusion, from a certain point of view, is actually rather biblical. In our text for this morning, from Genesis, we see Adam's first assignments from God. Adam, who in this creation story certainly represents humanity, right? God's creation of humanity. Adam is given the task of naming the animals. And we talked about this on a youth retreat earlier this year, but in Scripture, to name something is to be given the responsibility of caring for it. And think about this. We get this, right? What are some things that we name? We name our children. We name our pets. You may name your car or a golf club, or maybe you own a home that you gave a name to there on the driveway. A child will even name his or her favorite stuffed animals or toys. We name our churches. We even name specific rooms within our churches. And when we give a name to something, what we are saying is that this is ours, and we will take care of it. We will take care of it. So in naming the animals, Adam, who already has the task, we know from earlier in the chapter, of tending the garden for God, now also has to care for all these living creatures that he has just named. And of course, we can extend it out, right, in ways that the story doesn't. The plants, the animals, the whole deal, to put a very fine point on it, the whole deal is ours to take care of. Now, I said this was a stewardship sermon, but that it wasn't about money. And to understand what I mean, we have to get to the root of the meaning of that word, stewardship. What does it mean to serve as a steward? A steward is someone who cares for something, especially in the absence of the owner of it. So a farmer might get a steward to care for his land while he is away or if he's incapacitated and cannot take care of it himself or herself. A kingdom might have a steward rule the kingdom if there is a break in the royal line, or if the king is off on a conquest, and I have resisted the temptation to dive deep into the Lord of the Rings at this point. You're also welcome for that. When we think about it, a steward is in charge of something that isn't really his or hers, but they have been entrusted with it. Entrusted with it for a time. And so when we say that it is the mission of the church to tend to creation, we are not only reaching back to the very beginning of Scripture and our story with God, we are also connecting with one of the absolutely essential, primary, core, root purposes and responsibilities for humanity within the grand scheme of creation. We are to care for God's creation, for God's kingdom, while the king isn't right here with us. Oh, he'll come back, but it's our job until then. Now, we're all smart enough to know what this means for our lives. We're smart enough to know that humans don't always do a very good job of caring for this planet or the other lives or the other species on it. And we can even do more harm than good in many cases. I'm not going to give a full sermon on that because we're all aware of the issues that are going on in our environment. But suffice it to say that we would all do well to think about how we live and the choices we make and how they impact the world around us. And we have that responsibility as individuals and as a church. So the stewardship piece is literal stewardship. We are to tend to the garden because it is what we were always meant to do. We are to tend to creation as the church. It is part of our mission. But as we close, I have one final thought. If we are to tend to creation, that includes all of creation. All of creation, which means not just the plants and the animals and the land and the sea and the air that we breathe and all the environmental concerns that we have, because wrapped up in that whole creation story is the creation of Adam and Eve themselves. In other words, we are creation. You and I. And therefore, if we are to truly be stewards of God's created world, to tend to the garden, so to speak, we also must tend to the other gardeners. We must tend to each other, and indeed to our very selves. To not take care of each other would be to leave out a part of the creation that we are called to care for. And stop short of that piece of creation which God felt most compelled to redeem, us. So compelled that God took our form, was born and lived and breathed and tended to others, and then died in order that death might be conquered. Died and rose again, that he might show us all what it really looks like to care for creation. To love the thing that you have named. And this is the missional thought in all of this to leave with. Love. See, tending to the earth and to one another, it must involve love. The Genesis text hints at this. Jesus outright teaches it, and I even think Voltaire was onto it, even if he didn't know it. You know, I always thought it was interesting that in Voltaire's conclusion, he says that we ought to tend or cultivate our garden. He doesn't say we ought to find a quiet spot and work the land. It's a garden. It's not a farm. The dream wasn't to work the land for Voltaire, because anyone who has truly known and understood gardening knows that it's a little different than farming. See, you cultivate a garden for the love of it. You work a farm. You tend a garden. And so when we imagine our mission as a church and our role as stewards of God's creation, we imagine tending God's garden. And there is still work involved, but the idea behind this mission is that it's a project of passion, a labor of love, more like a garden than some hard earth that you have to work over. We remember how our story began, and we find that in tending to the earth and to one another and even to ourselves, working for the health and wellness of all in creation, we find a connection to a deeper and enduring purpose. That thing which God has called us to and has always meant for us to do and to be. And to our great surprise, we may find ourselves agreeing with an 18th century secular enlightenment philosophical pessimist and agreeing that, you know what? There really is nothing better than for us to find our bit of garden and tend to it. Amen.